as I was talking at the time that the power cut came and the electricity went off, the latest, the highest point which Pakistan achieved in serving its foreign imperialist Atlanticist masters within the great game for which it was created as an instrument, the highest point was the Afghan jihad against the Soviet Union during the 1980s. And it used the Pashtuns as its main component, as its main material. And during this time, the Pakistani state and its Punjabi masters who were serving as the lackeys of America and the Atlanticists began to acquire a definitive gangster-like character. Recently, however, the strategic interplay between the Anglo-Americans and Russia has changed acutely and abruptly, leaving Pakistan in the lurch as an older long-term strategic situation for which Pakistan was originally created, no longer exists. Therefore, the terms and the conditions that accompanied that also are now redundant. But the basic character and expectations of the Pakistanis will not change. They are very cynical people and very short-sighted people, despite these realities. For they want masters like the Anglo-Americans to patronize them and for the same malevolent purposes as they have been doing during the great game and its various phases. And they naively expect to cut similar deals with Russia and China as they have been doing with the Anglo-Americans for the past 200 years, and that is simply not possible. The servile yet mercenary Punjabis use the wild and primitive Pashtuns to receive rewards in dollars for the services rendered to their US masters in the course of the great game. But as the US involvement with Afghanistan finished in 2021, that method no longer works, although the Pakistan army is still resorts to stirring up trouble in the Pashtun tribal areas and with the Pakistani Taliban to try and gain the favor of America and get grants in cash and praises and pats on the back from its American masters that it was regularly used to getting in the past. The Pakistani public still accuses its army of playing such games on the social media, but characteristically does nothing more than that. Pakistan is a neo-colonial state, the elites of which are not interested in developing their society or creating a functional modern nation-state's infrastructure. All that interests them are the monetary rewards, piecemeal, short-term monetary rewards forthcoming from their Anglo-American masters, which they spend directly on petty personal gratifications. In this attitude, they were fully encouraged by their imperialist patrons, and the materials they used for their work were the proud Pashtun Afghan tragicomic donkeys. Because that is, you know, if one wants to be very reasonable and polite, one will use terms such as that. I can't find anything else. To find out why such policies took root and prevailed here, it is necessary to examine the nature of the people known as Afghans and Pakistanis and how they came to be utilized for such evil purposes. This will also inform us as to what can be expected of them by those of us who are carrying forward the Eurasian ideal and its expectations for the future of humanity. To any philosopher with clarity of mind, it is clear that things are the way they are because both Afghans and Pakistanis are composed of the dregs of their respective civilizations. They were brought to the fore by fate to participate in the end game, featuring the opposition of the Anglo devilish civilization to the future of humanity centered on Eurasia under the Russian banner, in favor of the former. The area of Afghanistan and Pakistan constitutes the very heart of Eurasia, which according to geopolitical theorists is essential to the destiny of Eurasia. Just as Eurasia is vital to the direction of human history itself. It is interesting to note that physically Pakistan encompasses the shutter zone between the historic Greater Iranian and Greater Indian ethno-cultural spheres. It makes it into a very unstable arrangement indeed, political arrangement. The Pashtun-Afghan ethnicity represents raw and untamable Scythian clunker. It is the very essence of discord and disorder, and to expect anything other of it would be foolish in the extreme. In the past, these people inhabited the vast Eurasian steppes, and their purpose seems to have consisted of periodic eruptions onto settled Indo-Iranian societies, which had grown corrupt and decadent and needed to be torn down for renewal in a manner that the Arabian historian Ibn Khaldun has described in his famous Al-Asabiya theory of social development cycles. These Sakas existed on the peripheries of political order and were lost in the vastness of the steppe, so they did not really bother anyone with their presence. Unlike the metal radium, they are possessed of valuable and rare radioactive properties, but must be handled with extreme care and kept under restriction by responsible custodians. They are mighty but malevolent people of Gog Magog, described in the writings of old, against whom Cyrus the Great of Persia battled and by whom he was killed. These are the people whose sole purpose in life seems to be to hire themselves out to the corrupt powers that be, so as to achieve their dirty work. Although these people are technically Aryans, that is, Eastern Iranians of the Indo-Iranian branch, they have nothing to do with the glories of Persian civilization and culture per se. The Pashtun-Afghan ethnicity now found populating Western Pakistan and Eastern Afghanistan are the largest remnants of the Saka influence to be found in Eurasia at the present time. They started to rise to prominence in modern history 500 years ago with the rise of Atlanticist imperialism in the world and the House of Temur in Turco-Iranian Central Asia. Although they seem to have played their destined role and inflicted defeat upon their Anglo-American masters who had once made use of them, I do not see any further positive role for them in realizing the destiny of Eurasia, nor will their treacherous and disruptive behavior, character lend them to any such action. On the other hand, Pakistan is Indic in character and is culled from the lowest on offer in Indian civilization. People with an incurable sense of shame about their origins, a sense of subordination and inferiority which permeates their existence from the very core of their being. They have a deep and passionate attraction for the Afghan and his wild ways, and their utmost aspiration seems to be his emulation. I say that as a citizen of this society who has observed this at all levels of perception from his very youth. Both the Afghan and Afghan Pashtun and Pakistani nations represent hopeless if opposite extremes, which have nothing but negativity on offer and which are now condemned by history. Why to expect the impossible from the spiritually fallen types of people? Both the Pakistanis and the Pashtun Afghans are suited to carrying out the lowliest of tasks and dirty work. That role of theirs has been in evidence since the creation of the British Indian Empire, followed by the creation of Pakistan. However, with the defeat of their devilish master in sight, their role is over, and like the condemned, they now await their deserved fate. So total is their predicament and so sealed is their fate. We need to be wise in this regard and waste no more time. Humanity is now on the verge of a new era that will be centered on Russia, even though we will have to go through the paroxysms of a global war of unprecedented intensity to get to it. Now, in the end, at the very end of my speech, I will make a reference to what I think should be our regional strategy amid the hopeless conditions that I have described above for people of this part of the world, or for people like me who have their roots here, who belong here, but who reach out and aspire to become members of the Eurasian mainstream. The regional strategy required for our future, in my opinion, is that as a Tajik, an ethnic Tajik from what is now Pakistan, and therefore being a representative of the most ancient Persian civilization, which is now struggling, the immediate future for concern for us is the restitution and historic the restitution of the historic and organic Iran Zameen, or that ethnically and culturally contiguous territory of the ancient Persian empires, which was far more organic, far more natural in terms of being an outgrowth, far more homogeneous, or rather I should say harmoniously integrated, than any modern nation state that has been made in the present times owing to colonial influences or owing to modern influences which have no real basis, no real foundation in reality. I suggest that Iran Zameen should be restored as much as possible, and we already have the means to do that if we know how to do it. This will be the natural response to the disintegration of unnatural and negative political entities and arrangements such as Pakistan, and it will also bring under effective control that which needs to be reined in, that is the Pushtun Afghan element. From examining the sum total of the characteristics of both Pakistan and Afghanistan and my own personal experiences and observations thereof, I can safely say that both these contexts are spent and represent no hope for positive future action or expectation on part of anybody. If the spiritually fallen are willing to permit to submit to proper authority and guidance and regenerate themselves, we can consider accommodating them in special peripheral regions, as was the case in the past with the Scythians of the steppe, or else they will have to contemplate utter transformation if they wish to survive. If not, they must be done away with on an emergency basis and as efficiently as possible. The fact that nonsense such as this was tolerated, nay, justified and nurtured thus far, attests to Atlanticist imperial strength and their malevolent intentions. When that wanes, so will the impertinence of the Gog Magog people, and the ever servile Pakistanis too will be recognized for what they actually are. In summation, in the past five centuries, since the rise in the world of the Atlanticist imperial apparatus, and that of the Timurids in Central and South Asia, the history of Eastern Iran, Zameen or Khorasan, has undergone a progressive falsification. I'm talking specifically about the history of the Tajiks in Pakistan, which has been suppressed and mangled in a very elaborate manner. And that process of degeneration or decay dates to 500 years ago with the rise of the Timurid Empire under Zahiruddin Babur, or the Mughal Empire of India, as it was referred to. The remnants of Saka, Scythian and Pashtun Afghan, who are a potent force for negativity, mischief, anarchy and discord, for destruction is their very nature, have been fully utilized by unscrupulous imperial powers, both the local Turks as well as Western Europeans. For the past 6 years, I and my associates have been busy forensically restoring our rightful history, which had been mangled beyond recognition, as I have just said. Iran's Amin has to be reconstituted and reintegrated, and Iran's Amin in pieces with Saka remnants in the form of Pashtuns and Afghans ruling the roost will not do the job. We still remember the time when our legendary forebear Cyrus the Great fought with and was killed by the Sakas and their queen Tamiris, and how he is recorded by all the sources and traditions, both local and Islamic, as confronting the Gog Magog or the Sakas and building walls against them to protect his citizens from these unsettled Scythian marauders as the basis of his efforts. That serves as our guiding beacon in all such matters. The people of Iran are definitely better than the Eastern Iranian Scythian dregs of the steppes, but the latter must be brought under the control of the former, and that calls for the reintegration and resurrection of historic Iran's Amin, at least in a rudimentary shape and on an emergency political basis, to be ready for the coming times of global war that we are soon going to face. So with that, my dear participants, I hope I've fulfilled my desire to convey my message to you. I'm very sorry, I'm a bit suffering from flu, and as you know, around me the power cuts are going on and off. The country that I'm living in, Pakistan, is in chaos, and it's soon about to collapse anyway on all fronts. So I feel that it's I've done a good job in conveying my message to you, and I hope I will be able to do so in the future, because our work lies in the future. This is just the beginning. So I will beg my leave from all my friends, including Alexander Dugin and the honorable participants of this conference, till we meet again.